The Lord this morning? Come on. Come on. I just realized there was a whiteout in at Penn State last night. A whiteout. I mean, it's probably some 100,000 people gathered in a stadium wearing white. And I did have just a brief thought. Do we have any idea what it's going to look like in heaven? I mean, it's not going to look like that stadium. I mean, it's going to be elevated. But we're going to have white all over. And we're going to be praising God. It won't be because of footballs flying through the air. But we're going to be praising God because of the cross and the fact that he has granted us, he's invited us to spend that time at the throne with him, to worship and praise him without any sickness, without any diseases, without any worry, without any anxiety. Yes, yes, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Anyway, I think, and I don't know why, I was sitting there praising and worshiping this morning, and it was just good to be in God's house this morning. Now, I must let you know, none of you all know that my feet have been hurting for like 3 months. Just in the last week, I had how many of you all have had feet that hurt? Okay, all right. That might be a ministry unto itself. And so just in the last week or so, I just encountered whatever that head stuff is. Anybody got any of that? Where you know, the cough and the congestion and all of that? Nobody has that? Anyway. But I don't care because I'm in the house of the Lord this morning. I realize that, the King's Chapel is not a building. It's a body. Oh, seven people say amen. I'm going to preach to y'all this morning. Yeah. It's not a building. We're going to have some stuff that happens out on the lawn, but it's really the stuff that happens in our heart before we get to the lawn that's going to be of any value. We're standing next to somebody. How many of you all are guests? First time you've ever been to the King's Chapel? Oh, my goodness gracious, really? Anywhere else? All over? Yes, put your hands together. My God, yes. I'm just one of the pastors here. I'm not the main pastor. That would be Pastor Bill. Who's not? Is? And so, yes, but nonetheless, we're glad you all are here. I don't know what took you so long to find out I was here, but I'm glad you came this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We've had begun the series on prayer. And let me just tell you what today and the next few Sundays is not. Let me tell you what it isn't. It is not some nice little neat sermons about prayer. We are living in a day and time when there are too many things coming down the pike at us that require us to be on point for what God is doing in the land. And the way we do that is through prayer. I got so convicted as I was preparing to share this message, not because I don't pray, I do, but I tend to, when I preach and when I begin to preach, I begin to preach with some assumptions already in place. It's almost like I just figure everybody realizes this, everybody knows this, and so my conviction came in that the command, if you will, in a loving way, or the charge for us to pray, to seek God. That word pray, it's a strong word, and it makes some people a little weak in the knees. How many of you all get a little weak in the knees when you're standing in a circle and somebody says, who will pray? Yeah, okay, it's all right. Yeah. And anything that can happen. And so it's amazing to me when I, a few years ago, learned of a couple of planes that went into some buildings nearby, how easy it was without having gone to a prayer conference, how easy it was to call on God to save us. Anybody have that memory? We didn't have a very structured, we didn't have a very neat little way to pray. We just did what? We called out to God. You know, I'm reminded of how when we all get into situations, it's easy when we, how many of you all have ever been slammed by situations? I mean slammed. You didn't see it coming. And it just jacked your emotions up. and you begin to do that W word. You begin to worry. Yeah, you begin to worry. And the first thing he says is, do not worry. And so we learn to cry out to God. And so, as I said, I don't want these to be messages, neat little sermons that you get every Sunday morning and you can put them away in your notebooks. Brothers and sisters, we have to bring prayer to life in the King's Chapel, and even more so in the body of Christ. We want to live locally as a body of Christ, but we want to think and pray globally for the body of Christ. Somebody say amen. Because there's going to be much more than just us. Okay, I got a lot of stuff to do this morning. I think that the festival will start when I'm done, is the way I understand. Is that accurate? Okay. they put the hot dogs on simmer, but I know they're coming. Listen, first of all, did I tell you in Matthew chapter 6, that's where we're going to go. We're going to read that as our launch point, but I wanted to, I'm a simple brother. I like the simplicity of the things of God. I like to get into the things of God and let them resonate in me in a very simple form. So I have to bring them down where I can handle them. Some people, they handle them at a different level. Me, I have to have bite size, and I have to understand. I have to know what it is that God's saying to me. And so we will use Matthew 6 as our launching point today. Very familiar passage. Excuse me. And starting in verse 9. Because the disciples have asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and we're going to launch in right from there. We're all there? Chapter 6 and verse 9 in the book of Matthew. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Pray then in this way, Jesus says, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so we know that as it has been shared, taught, preached, instructed, all of that over time, as a model prayer for the disciples, or the model prayer, if you will, even for, don't anybody get nervous about this. It's just a towel. I've mentioned this many times before. I sweat. Don't go with the stereotype that it's a black man with a towel and we're going to be here forever. We're going to be here forever, but it has nothing to do with me being a, anyway. And so we know this. Boy, Jesus prayed this, so this must be the way we pray. But what he did, he gave us, if you will, a template for prayer. Because if you go back into the Old Testament, and I love the way the prayer starts, Our Father, who art in heaven. We could stop right there. Everything there is to know about our existence, where we came from, what we're doing, what we're supposed to do, begins with Our Father, who art in heaven. And so, as a result of that, I thought it was important for us to know, certainly for me to know, what is prayer, who is the Father, and who is it that I'm sending my prayers to? Now, you know, when we do have disasters, there are a lot of nonprofits that surface, and they ask you for what? They want you to send donations. Now, not all of them are legit, right? You've heard the horror stories of people who are sending money and people kind of took advantage of them. I pray nobody in here has been down that path, but they just sent money and they didn't know where it was going, did you? Well, let's put that back to our prayers. Some of us have no idea who it is, who our Father is. Now, let me tell you the real sad part about that. Those same people fill up our churches across Christendom every Sunday morning. I don't want to think that we are immune from that. But it's important to know who it is, who is this God that we are praying to. And so allow me to go back and set a little platform for us, or a little foundational point for us to spring from. First of all, the first word that ought to come into your spirit about who the Father is this word. And everybody, well, everybody, most everybody in here, if you got an ounce of breath in you, have a problem with this word when it comes to your stuff, and that is this, the S word. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. Everybody say sovereign. Yeah, yeah. And it's a wonderful, rich word that just means he is the only royal reigning authority and power. Period. You mean we don't get to? No, we don't. And if you are going to accept the charge to pray to him, you have to accept that invitation on his terms. Now, his terms are righteous, so we know we're going to be okay. We might not like it, especially when he says, I need you to love your... Do we have... And we can begin there. I put some slides up just so you all be able to track. I hate slides, but I'm giving them to you. Stop. I'm giving it to you because some of you need them. Okay, so listen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this. It is impossible to please God. He says it requires faith to please God. And without faith, we can't please him. It's just that simple. He says, because the first thing you have to embrace, accept, without question, is that he exists. Our Father. Everybody say, our Father. Now everybody say, my Father. In fact, when Jesus says the same thing in the book of Luke, the physician, captures this same model of prayer, if you will. And he just leads out in the New American Standard, he just leads out with the word Father. Oh, there's an intimacy, if you will, that puts us in the throne room. That's how God wants us to come to him. Okay? But we must first believe that he exists. How many times do we pray and we don't even know if God hears us? We're just praying because someone said, if you're in this kind of trouble, you need to pray. In fact, some of us don't even pray until we get in. Oh, somebody say amen now, because y'all get quiet on me, and that means I must be meddling. Okay, so no. Prayer, let me get that kind of underlined, what that defined. Prayer, if you will, is how God communes, and this is my definition summed up. You're willing to take shots at it if you like. how God communes and instructs his children to commune with him. Commune just means being in our presence. There's a DNA that connects us to God. And that DNA, if you belong to him, flows through us and it flows to him. So we're connected by that. So it's how God communes and instructs his children to commune with him. To hear his heart, listen, in advancing his kingdom, prayer is simply holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Worshiping the I am. With all that we have, it's all committed to him. So when we think we send out these little 5 and 10 cent prayers and we haven't given him an ounce of our time, don't get quiet on me now. This is what you mean. We're preaching on prayer. So prayer is like, as it says there in the bulletin for you, prayer is not a formula. It's essential. How many of you all know what oxygen is? How many of you all living in here know what oxygen is? Okay. How many of you all, raise your hand if you will, how many of you all believe oxygen is important? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you all believe oxygen is essential? That trumps important. Yeah, that trumps important. It's important that I get at least 2 hot dogs a day with mustard on it. That's important. But it's essential that I have oxygen flowing through me if I plan to be on this earth doing the Father's will. You all understand what I'm saying to you? So it's essential. Prayer is essential. When you say, I haven't spent any time in prayer with God, what you're saying is, God, I have not appropriated your relationship important enough for me to spend time with you. Now, I'm not trying to charge you all. I'm just trying to lay a foundation here. And so if we believe and we embrace the fact that God is sovereign, that means that everything that he's laid out for our lives, which he did before the beginning of time, we're wondering, well, I don't know what God wants to do with me. Let me help you with that. This is what God wants to do with you. He wants to come and live in your heart. He wants you to get to know him, and then he wants you to go out and tell somebody else about him. He doesn't care whether you do that in Arizona. He doesn't care whether you do it in Washington, D.C. He doesn't care if you do it in Clifton. My God, I just don't know where he wants me to go. It doesn't matter where you go, who you're carrying. Anyway. And so if we believe that he's sovereign, and that's absolute, we get absolute truth from that sovereign relationship. God tells us through his word who he is. It begins in Genesis. Actually, it begins before Genesis 1:1. We enter in on the fact that God already exists. He already exists. And so he brings us in on Genesis 1:1. And if we look at the scriptures from beginning to end, the anointed nature of the scriptures, the God-inspired, God-breathed word, God is, first of all, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-powerful. God is omnipotent, very expensive word. God is also omniscient, the Jehovah Shema, who is near. He's omniscient, meaning that he knows everything. In fact, Psalm 139 says, the sum of the word on my lips, of the words, in fact, all of what we will ever say in life, God knows already. Oh, he says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Yeah, that's how close he is. He should be so close to you right now that you ought to be able to smell the warmth of his breath. You ought to be able to feel it at least. Y'all ain't hearing me because you're getting too religious. I don't want you to be religious. I want you to engage the spirit this morning. Jehovah Shema, who is near us. He's active and alive. He's a living God that we engage each and every day, not each and every Sunday. Are you with me so far? Yeah. So he begins to turn to Romans 8:16 real quick. Real quick now, because, you know, at the rate I'm going, we've got five areas to cover this morning. The who, the why, the what, the how, the where, and the when. At this pace, y'all ain't going to get no hot dogs either. That's the way this is. No, here we go. Did I tell you Romans 8 and verse 16? All right, you have to wait till I get there, because that's not one of the ones I gave you a slide for. I wanted you to hear this down in the nature of your feet. The Holy Spirit, it is here in verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit testifies with whose spirit? With our spirit. With our spirit that we are sons of God. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you've not felt that testimony, you've not sensed that testimony, you've not engaged that testimony, then your spirit is bearing witness with Satan. Because those are the only two groups of people in here. Those who belong to God, those who belong to Satan. Now, I know it gets a little foggy sometimes. We got some Christians that can... So we've got some Christians that sometimes don't act like they belong to God. Somebody say amen. We keep smiling at least, so you know, I can't give you half of it. Yeah, and so, you know, there's a thin line between a child of Satan who does evil, wicked stuff and a child of God who does evil, wicked stuff. That's a thin line. But thank God that he has given us 1 John 1:9, where if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, you get that because of the intimate relationship you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, who died for us. Look at this slide, if you will. I love this. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And the reason I love this, especially in the Old Testament, we didn't get smart, if you will, until the New Testament came along, most of us anyway. And we thought we knew something. But I actually think that the Old Testament, if you will, when you go back and you look at how they had to begin to deal with God and know who God is. Do you understand that this pagan Abraham, he just moved on the voice of God? Some of us, we have to read the whole Bible, go to seminary, and go to about 12 different Bible conferences before we'll even obey God, because we want to make sure we got it down pat. That ain't going to happen. I've been walking with him for quite a few years, and I don't have it down pat. But one thing I have discovered about God, what God does in your life, he does as you go, not as you sit. Remember what he told us in Matthew 28:19? Oh, you don't? So you'll make me preach that too? He says, go ye into all the world and make disciples. Yeah. As you go, guess what? A disciple is being made. Because you can't get God on your hands without getting God on you. So if you're going to tell somebody else about him, you got to get some on your hands yourself. Somebody say amen. Now, when you say amen, that means that there are going to be some people that you might not know who's going to be right on this grounds today. Yeah, and oh my God, we might have to tell them about Jesus. Yeah. Don't tell them about how great the King's Chapel is. Forget that. Because you all know we're jacked up in here, right? Can I say that? Yeah, we are. We're jacked up in here. There are no perfect churches. There are none. They don't exist. As soon as you get people in there, we got problems. Yeah, as soon as you let one human being in there, we got a problem. Yeah, I understand. I was a pastor this past week, and he said he lost 40 people out of his church. And usually when I hear that, this was in Southern Virginia, the first question that comes to mind is, how many of those 40 did you had the last name the same? He said it was about 20 of them. And he was serious, and that's about right. That's about right. Church can't be owned by a family. The church is owned by God. It was the blood of Jesus that purchased this ecclesia that's in here, these humans that are in here. Look at what Deuteronomy says about God. I mean, this is what God says about God himself. Did I tell you Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39? Know therefore today and take, underline this word, this phrase here, and take it to your heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Our Father who art in heaven. If we don't begin at that level of embracing the sovereignty of God and knowing that there is no other, it's not our career, it's not our bank account, it's not our home, it's not our cars, it's not our family, it's none of those things. He says, there is no other God. And when we pray, we need to pray like there is no other God. Amen? He is the Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and provides. Oh, he sees what you need even before you ask him for it. Yes, 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 yes. So the who, Isaiah 45 and 5. Turn to that, if you will, real quickly. We're almost done. I'm gonna send you the other ones by link. Did I say Isaiah 45? Listen, but personally, I don't care if we don't get done today. I'm not leaving until I finish. All right, here we go. I might be the only one in here, but I'm not leaving until I finish. Listen, Isaiah chapter 45, are you there? Verse 5, echoed again, I am the Lord. And there is no other besides me. There is no God. So if we hear God's voice bellowing through his scripture, and this is what this is, God-breathed word, he's telling us who he is. He's telling us what he expects. And he's not a dictator. He's a loving God. He's a loving God. Everything about God is love. We just have to get on his program. And so if you turn over to Psalm 145:18, we get to the why of God. If God is who he says he is, and he is, then why are we praying to him? Simply put, we pray to God, and here we go. This is gonna snatch some doctrine and theology all over everywhere. We pray to God because God told us to. I know y'all want something a little heavier than that, but that's all I got. Brother, you hear what I'm saying? Okay, yeah. We pray to God because he told us to. You don't even have to search the scriptures on that one. Yeah, you don't have to go to seminary on that one either. How many of you know, now be careful how you raise your hand, that if God says for you to do something, you must do it? How many of you know that? Because it will affect your prayers. Some of us don't pray because we're afraid God might speak to us, and he will. He will. But if he speaks to you, then you got to do what he says to. You got to be accountable for what you hear. And if you walk away as though you didn't hear it, that's a problem because that's sin. 'Tis sin for him who knows to do and does not do it. That is sin. Don't fall into the hands of an angry God. Okay. Did I tell you Psalm 145? Did I say verse 18? Verse 18. That's okay. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Now, this is in the Old Testament. He is just as near today in here to us as he was when that passage was written. The Lord is near to all. What's the caveat? It's right at the end of the verse. Don't look at me. What's right at the end of the verse? What does it say? What's the caveat to that verse? He's near to all who call upon his name. What do we do when we get in a sling? I'm guilty of this until the Holy Spirit taps me on the shoulder. We try to fix it. We try to figure it out on our own, don't we? Come on now, I need at least four people to say amen because they know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all act like y'all never been through stuff. My goodness. Listen. Immediately, when stuff happens, we got to figure it out and fix it. But God says to call on him. Philippians chapter 4, it's my life verse. I love this verse. This is the verse that kind of stuck with me even before I knew where all the books were in the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. This verse leads out, be anxious. Nothing in the Greek is the same as nothing in the English. He didn't say pick and choose what you want to be anxious about. And what I can tell you right now, even in this room, there's too much anxiousness in here to be at the worshiping throne of the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty, who dropped the blood for everybody in here. Come on now, help me with this. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in most things. I might have a little bad translation here, but in most things. No, he says in all things. And immediately we go to default and figure it out ourselves, especially if you're those who've been blessed with the gift of administration and organization. You people struggle with that. I've been blessed in my family that way. God bless her. I thank God for this woman. Her name is Deborah. That's my wife. She put the D in details. She is the organizer of organizers. This woman doesn't even create a plan B. Because plan A is so tight. And men, you have to be careful because if you ask a few questions about the plan, it may sound like you, oh, come on now. You know I love you. That's a gift. Now listen, that's a gift, and it's a blessing to me. You know, when we used to take the children to go see grandma and granddaddy down the road in Richmond, it was, okay, we're going to go over the weekend. I'm going to drive down Friday. We'll come back Sunday morning or whenever that was. That wasn't enough for her. Are we taking pajamas? Are we taking toothbrushes? Where are we going? I mean, she needed to know the layout. Men, don't, if you have been blessed that way, please embrace it because it will save your hide at will. That's a gifting. Not everybody got that. That's a gifting. It's the same way in the body of Christ. God has got those who are administrators who know where every paperclip is and have none of them. Okay. But in all things, with prayer. With prayer. And supplication just meaning petition. You know, that comes after we have this a communal exchange with God. The want list is kind of down here somewhere because he already knows what you need and he knows what you want. They don't always line up. Somebody say amen. Yeah, they don't always line up. Anybody pout when you don't get what you wanted? I mean, not in here, but you may know of another King's Chapel and a bunch of people somewhere who might pout when they don't get what they want. Yeah, with prayer and supplication. He says, make your request known unto God. And here's the promise to us. And he says, call unto him and the peace of God. Now, let me tell you something. Some of you are waiting for answers right now, and you don't have the peace of God when not knowing that the peace of God is going to trump the answer that you get. Because the answer that you get may not be the answer you want. How many of you just pray to God and then we give him a way to answer it? Lord, this is how I want you to answer my prayer. Oh, okay, three people. Y'all ought to stop. No, listen, this. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart in mind. That word keep is very synonymous to the one word that Jesus used in John 17 when he was praying, and he says, keep them in your name. Yes. Who shall I tell them you are? Tell them my name is I am. Oh, Lord. So if we get the why, then what about the what? You know, just before I leave the why, when God said God tells us, he tells us to call on him. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, he says, call unto me, and I will tell you great and mighty things. Whew. He said, that you couldn't even know unless I tell you. If you're going to know anything about God, it's going to have to be revealed to you. You're not going to learn it in a classroom. You'll learn the academia of it, but you won't learn the supernatural of it. And it is a supernatural that changes lives. It's the supernatural. How many of you realize that God is supernatural? Well, quit asking him to answer natural stuff. He already answered natural stuff. He says, call unto me. Then once you enter into the room of the supernatural, he'll begin to reveal you things. You know, there are times that I have tried to begin to worry about something that never even ever took place. Nobody ever been there before, but I'm just saying. Anybody in here have children? Okay, so there were times that I would begin to worry about things or want to worry about things, and those things never ever took place. Can I get at least one more amen? Okay, here we go. So what is the content of prayer? We know the who, God Almighty himself. We know the why because he said so. And not just because he says so, but if he is the sovereign God and he says, call him, I'm figuring he's got the answer. Not only does he have the answer, he has the righteous answer. And guess what the righteous answer does? It always glorifies him. Not sometimes, always. And that's how you can tell the difference between your things on your prayer request. Is it gonna glorify you or is it gonna glorify God? That's how we can know. So the content of it. Excuse me. God speaks what he wants, what God desires, he speaks it into existence. He desire to create man. He spoke man into existence. I mean, he formed and shaped and all of that, but he says, let us make man in our image. Thank you. But it scanned me. Let us make man in our image. That was the thought of God. What God thought, he spoke. What he spoke, he created. Turn to me. You're looking at me like I got three heads. Turn real quickly. Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11. We got to get that great. We got to get that quickly. 11. And verse 3. Are we there? By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. The worlds were prepared by the Word of God. so that what is seen is not made out of things which are visible. We know that the world, everything that God did, he spoke it into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. And then he says, let the sun and the moon hang. Well, okay, so we know how that whole script goes. But whatever he wants, he speaks it into existence. Because when you are the I am, when you are the sovereign I am, and some of us think we can come up with lists of things that we need or dilemmas we're in, like right now, some of you are in dilemmas, if you will, in your life, and you don't know what you'll ever do because you don't think God's ever heard of your dilemma before. This is how he responds to that. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Jehovah Jireh. He says, if I don't have it, and that's an oxymoron, I'll create it. What manner of God is this? What manner of God is this? Just in case you think he might not have it, he says, I'll create it. Abraham and his son walk into the thicket, but they were short on one important item. They didn't have a sacrifice. God says, you just handled the business of getting Isaac over there. I'll handle the sacrifice. And then, by chance, we discover a ram in the thicket. Y'all not listening to me right now, listening to me. Because what you're praying for, God's already provided. You just need to go. And guess what? When we look at our prayer list, I look at the list that Jesus was praying in John 17, not so much the one that he told us about in Matthew 6. And if you liken it to the one in Luke 11, these were template. In 11, he was talking as a question was asked him along the way. In Matthew 6, he's preaching a sermon. It's a template. It's not one of those things that here's the formula for how we get God to respond. Because he says this in 1 John 4. 5, I think 14, I don't know whether I have that or not, but listen, he says this. If we know that he hears us and we pray according to his will, what's the content of our prayers? His will. What's the content of his prayers? Okay, you all are the only ones getting it. Let me just have, what's the content of his, you need to help them over there. What's the content of our prayers? This lady right here in the orange sweater said his will, and she would be absolutely correct. When we pray more often, if we don't know the will of God, if we don't know the word of God, how in the world are we going to pray the will of God? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that's what he's answering. All of the other stuff that we go through in life, he's already got that. He says, listen, will you handle my business? Because that's what I'm blessing. That's how he can be bold enough to say that if John says, if we know that he hears us, if we know that he hears us, God has answered my prayer. And he answers my prayers. There are times that I don't think he answers my prayers, but that doesn't mean I stop praying or trusting in him. Because it may not be a prayer that an answer that I think I need on Tuesday. I might not need it until next month. You understand what I'm saying? I might not need the answer to that prayer until next month. But I'm stressing out over today. Ah, my goodness gracious. Know that he hears us. Prays according to his will. How does his will, thy kingdom come? His will comes on earth as it is in heaven. The content of that. What does it look like? It looks like little yous and me's walking around with the word of God in us as we walk this earth. You mean that's how the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven? You better believe it. John 1:14 tells us that. And the word became flesh and dwelt among the same word, the Logos, same word that was in the beginning, same word that was in John 1:1. He says he became flesh. Well, when we get the word in us, how did the word get on the land about the gospel? Word became flesh. Went about preaching and teaching the word of God. Guess what? If we are the body of Christ, we should be doing the same thing. If we're born of Christ, we should be doing the same. The word becomes flesh. How many of you all are made up of flesh? Yeah, okay, just checking. All right, if you got Jesus in you, guess what? You should be Jesus carriers. There should be light to be salt coming out of you. That's the content of our prayers. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, pray the word of God. Because in Jeremiah, we won't turn there right now, but in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12, he says to Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah told him what he saw. He says, Jeremiah, you have seen well, for I watch over my word to perform it. I watch over my word to perform it. The Spirit of God searches our hearts, waiting for the word of God to be manifested so that God can perform it. But most of the time, we're saying, Lord, give me that job I want. And you don't know that by the time you get that job, there's going to be two people that you get that you're going to be working with that you can't stand. Okay. Not in here, but I mean, you might know some people somewhere that got a job like that. But I'm just saying, His will be done. And you might say, well, God, why didn't you stop me? God doesn't look at the external. He looks at the heart. And even if He lets you go into that job with the two people that you cannot stand, He is saying to you, don't pray your way out of that job when you just asked me for the job. Here's what God says. Pray your way through it. Oh, some of us got some ugly situations we all wrapped up in and it ain't working out. Somebody say amen, because I know I'm telling the truth. Can't be this many people in this room who got it all figured out. Yeah, you're going through some stuff right now, and you're saying, Lord, get me up out of this. Can I say, get me up out of this? Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're saying that. There's no temptation such as common to man. But that yet with the temptation, He always provides the door of escape, the route of escape. And that route of escape always comes through Jesus. If you don't have the answer, fall to your knees and ask Him for it. I promise you, He will show up. How and where? How and where is best expressed? Turn to Isaiah 59:2. We got to go there if we don't do anything else. I'm almost done. Okay, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. So this is the how and where. There is such a time for corporate prayer. There is times like as we do, we gather here and we pray. But prayer is a seamless lifestyle. It's something we do all the time. It's not an event, if you will. Or it's not, I'm in trouble and so I got to go in my prayer car. No. Here's what Jesus says. Excuse me. Let's go to Isaiah 59. Did I tell you? Here's one of the hindrances when we're headed in. Did I tell you what verse? I told you two, so you already know what it is before I get there? Okay, all right, so that it is what it is. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is His ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sin, have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Now, this is written in the Old Testament. Thank God that in this new covenant that we have, we can be forgiven just as Israel was. I mean, that was a relationship with God and his people. But here's the deal. If you're in sin and you know there's sin, don't expect that God's going to answer your prayer. You can't be in sin and be praying at the same time. That's just hypocritical. That's just foolish. No, He says, I expect you to have a pure heart. Remember the scripture goes, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. Now, it is usually stated as we forgive those, but in the text, it's a past tense, as we have forgiven those. Oh, y'all not hearing me. As we have forgiven those, which means that we are clean before God, not perfect, but we're clean before God because we're not holding and harboring any stuff. And so some of us have had our prayers hindered right here in this building because we're holding stuff against one another in here. Oh, now, you didn't think I wasn't going to go there. Well, you got to go there. Yeah, I don't know what the stuff is. I don't care, but I know this is a bunch of people gathered around Jesus, and in His midst, I know there's always that stuff going on. We don't have a corner on it. There are people in here right now that don't like other people. But they'll sing the best songs and pray the best prayers. They'll fill up the Bible studies. They'll have 12 colored pencils to mark all kinds of scripture. But they're harboring ill. Oh, I got to do this. Will you all stand with me right now? Just the two. Yeah. Elders, if you come here, I'll come to you. I need you all to stand because I'm compelled to pray for you. Yes, I just need you to stand. Oh, Lord. I have called my. I need elders. If you're nearby, I just want to lay hands on and pray for this couple. Have we got any elders in the house? Yes, sir. Run over here because we'll be here all day long. He didn't know I was going to do this, and I didn't know I was going to do this, but I'm going to do it. And I hope that you will allow me to enter in on this moment. Is it, you're the only elder we got in the house? My God, I'm nervous. Okay. Hey, that's okay. Brother, I pray that you receive this. Father God, we do thank you for your servant whom you've placed here, Lord God. Father, you have given him ground to plow that he's been plowing for years and years. And Lord, you know his heart. You know how you've put him together. You know how you have brought his helpmeet alongside of him, Lord, that together they have shed tears, that together they have rejoiced. Together they have gone through trials and circumstances, Lord God, but you have been the Lord and the champion of them all. Now, Father, I pray that there would be a rallying and an undergirding as we look at the work that lays ahead of us. Lord, that we would be as you have called us to be in John 17, as one. That unity within this church would prevail. Lord, let it begin at the pulpit, spread its way through the pews and out to the parking lot, Lord. That where there are relationships that are soured and apart, Lord, that you and you alone would restore them. Ah, Lord, let the spirit of forgiveness break out in this place. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, now, for those of you who thought I was done, I am almost. Turn to Matthew 6 real quick. Real quick. We're going to be done. Thank you all because that was the spirit of the moment. That was necessary. Matthew 6, are we there? And verse 5 and 6. Jesus says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Now, he's talking about the seamless lifestyle of love between you and the Father. That when you pray, don't be praying to be seen. In fact, this whole text, this whole passage in Matthew 6, in fact, the Beatitudes, is talking about how we practice righteousness. So righteousness isn't an event of prayer. Righteousness is a lifestyle, if you will. Okay, and so he says, when you pray, don't pull prayer out as a draw of being with God. Prayer is something that we should be doing every day, all the time. We should have red, raw knees. We should have raw knees. I cannot have red raw knees. But we should have raw knees from being on our face before God, praying. Quit thinking that we have it all figured out as a person, as a church, as a leadership, or whomever. It is us together. This is God's church. Jesus says, on that rock, I will build my church. I will build my church. Anybody that he chooses to raise up in here as this shepherd, as he has, he is choosing us to come alongside of him as he builds his church. Somebody say amen, because y'all getting quiet now. I'm almost done. I'm going to give you Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and you can research it later on. I'll give you a summary of it. The word of God is active and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah. And then verse 13, which we don't realize and we don't get that quoted much. Verse 13 says, every creature is exposed before God. The motives and intent in verse 12 is exposed before God. If you say you don't know why you did that thing, you don't know why you were ugly to her, you don't know why you were ugly to him, get in the Word of God. And the Word of God will reveal why you were, because it'll probably flesh out all of that pride that you got that people have been trying to tell you about for years, but you think they have the problem. You know, pride is like plaque. You don't know you got it till you go to the dentist. Let me stop. You know, and then the hygienist begins to clean your teeth and it's like 75 pounds of plaque comes off of it. And you take your tongue and you move it around in your mouth and it feels like you can drive a Mack truck between your teeth. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, pride's the same way. Pride's the same way. We can build up in us, and unless we come to the dental hygienist of the Word of God to clean that garbage out, we're just going to pretend to do church. And folks, quite frankly, I am tired of playing church. Prayer is our cleanser. We get to hear from the throne of God as to what he wants and how he wants to advance his kingdom. Not for us to get our little
list filled out. One thing about God, if you give him 5 loaves and 2 fish, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, he'll blow that list up. You've limited God on that list because he tends to always go beyond what we ask. Yeah, he multiplies it. Okay. The how and the where. We get into our spiritual inner closet, not in a geographical location in our house, that's possible, but more so that inside is where we begin to pray because Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit is there. And guess what the Holy Spirit and Jesus is waiting for? They're waiting for the Father's instructions. And Jesus is the exact image of the Father's instructions, so if you have him living inside, it's just for the Holy Spirit to work. And as you go into your spiritual paraclete, that inner place, and we all have it. Some of us don't like what it looks like in there, but you got to go in there because that's how it gets flossed. That's how it gets flossed. So our how and our where is right before the Lord with a pure heart. With a pure heart, not a perfect heart. He doesn't have any perfect people, but he does have people who he's perfecting. That means that we're walking with him. Somebody say amen. Okay, I'm almost done. Finally, the when. When do we pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It'll get there pretty quickly. In fact, let me have the praise team come, if you will, if you don't mind, if we can go right now, because I am truly done. 1 Thessalonians, did I tell you? Y'all going to move a little faster, else I'm going to blame our delay on you. Amen. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Very simple, very simple. The Spirit of God tells us, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Simple as that. When do we pray? We pray all the time. When do you want God? All the time. We don't really want him all the time, but we certainly want him when we want him. But God would rather us that we would want him all the time. Everybody in this building needs him all the time. Everybody in this building needs him all the time. As the praise team is playing, whatever that song of reflection is going to be, I want us to see a verse in Isaiah chapter 30. And I want you to stand up, if you will. This is just not another verse in Scripture. But this is God's promise to us. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Now I want everybody in here to close your eyes, bow your heads. And we want to practice a promise. We want to practice a promise. And therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. At the sound of your cry. At the sound of your cry, at the sound of your cry, he will answer you. I want us to be bold enough this morning, right where we are. Don't care how strange it may sound, we don't care. Cry out to God as though you are the only one in this building. Just give him the intent of your heart, whatever lays there, whatever it is that the desire is that's relative to his word. And I promise you, God will go beyond. He'll go beyond that. So just right where you are. Yeah, it's a little risky. My God, we've never done this before, but maybe this will help free somebody up. Right where you are, just begin to cry out to God. Tell him the need of your heart all over this building. Let the Holy Spirit give you the words to speak. Don't fight the Spirit on it. Just let the words flow. You've shed the tears. Now put words before God. Don't be afraid to cry out to him. Ask him whatever that thing is that's on your heart. Lift up that name of those you desire to be saved, because that is his will. His will. He desires that all men may come to know him and to the knowledge of the truth. So lift up that name. Go on, cry out. Cry out to God. It's okay. Shed the tears, but cry out to God. Father God, we just invite you now by your Spirit. Move across this place. Move on the hearts of your people who are praying before you right now. Father, I pray that you would loose up the tongue. Loose up the tongue, Lord, that's in fear that they might be heard. Lord God, you want to hear from them. Flush this place by your Spirit now, Lord. Bring up the praises and the prayers that come from the lips of your people right now, Lord God. Let us lose ourselves before you. Father God, I just ask right now that there would be an outpouring. Because your word says there is nothing too difficult for you. Nothing that is impossible to you. Oh, come on, church. Let's raise our voices unto him. Call out to him. It's okay. I'm giving you permission to scream unto God if you need to. Let the tears flow. I know this is different, but let's just be different in Christ today. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the God of heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord God, that you hear every prayer that's being lifted up to you, even in this moment. Father, I thank you. And I give you praise.